You know, we have to agree, especially after reading your book, that there is something about a dog lover, isn't there?
Oh, there really is. I mean, it instantly gives us a common bond with someone. It's almost as if you both discovered you were from the same hometown.
That's so true.
When you both say, oh, yeah, or you see them with a dog and you know, okay, this person just gets me. And I think that's why even when you're just walking down the street, it's so easy to meet the fellow dog lover.
Now, everybody mentions that the doggy greeting at the door at the end of a long day when you walk in, that really is the essence of what our relationship with our dog is, isn't it?
It is, and people have wondered why that means so much. I mean, it's one thing that everybody seems to talk about when they come home, that the dog is usually the first one to greet them at the door. And there's even something about that that is, we even call it about the 60-second rule. And it's because when you come to the door, what happens in your first 60 seconds pretty much paves the path for the rest of your evening. And it does seem like it's the dog who's always happy to see you, ready to give you a kiss, you know, ready to say hello, letting you know that you mean something in their life. And then meanwhile, we might see the rest of our family may barely give a nod or, you know, so it's, if we all treated the other people in our lives the way our dogs treat us, our human relationships would increase 100-fold.
You said it, sister. Well, we all have great dog stories to tell, but they really do show how our dogs are so in sync with us. I was sick last year for a couple of weeks, which is very unusual for me, and my dog Milo was right there on the couch with me the entire time. And when I started to feel better toward the end of my illness, he just sort of got up and went about his business. He would look at me, but it was amazing how in tune our dogs are with us.
They really are. It's as if they're telepathic and just can read our mind, read our energy, know what we're feeling, know when we're feeling a little down, when we maybe aren't in as good of health. And actually, there is something about that, because that's why dogs will even sniff one another, because within that first 7 seconds, dogs will be able to tell the other dog's mood, what sex they are, basically how old they are, if they're in good health or not. So they can discover a lot about each other when they're taking those first few seconds of even sniffing each other. So it's no wonder that they can read a lot about us.
You know, you make the point in your book that with a new love relationship or even a friendship, like with a girlfriend, the sooner the better probably to introduce your dog into the mix, isn't it?
It really is. And I've interviewed hundreds of dog lovers, too. And it's especially important for women that the man that they may date for a long time, that he does like their dog. And they put him to the test pretty much on the first date. So, yes, guys, you are being tested immediately. And it doesn't mean that you have to go gaga and fawn all over her dog, but you do have to show a genuine interest, because there wasn't one woman who told me otherwise. They basically said if he didn't like her dog, there was not going to be a second date.
I think that makes sense. You get it out of the way quickly, because don't form a relationship if you know that it's doomed from the beginning.
Exactly. And I think, and it applies to friendships as well, because if you're not really on the same page, then I don't know how deep the relationship may go. It's not as if you won't be friends or have many acquaintances with people who are not animal lovers, but it just brings you that much closer, and I think makes it easier to form those friendships.
I was really relating strongly to a story you were telling about a girlfriend you made. tell that story if you would.
Yeah, I love this. And we had just moved out to Long Island, and so I was just making new friends, and especially as a couple, sometimes it's a little more of a challenge to find that other couple that both the guys like each other and the girls like each mm-hmm. other. And I was 8 months pregnant, and they had just had a baby. And so we had dinner with them, and it was really fun. And I thought, oh, this is great. And we may actually have, you know, this new couple that can come over and share lots of things in our lives. And so a couple of days later, she decided to surprise me. And she had called. She said, hey, we're out in your driveway. How about if we come in? So I said, fantastic. So she comes on up to the door, and because we had been talking so much baby talk, we never really got on the dog issue. And she came through the door with her son, and I have not seen a look of such horror in my life. They were just fearful, astonished, totally taken aback that we had dogs. And my dogs aren't even the type to jump all over people. I mean, they're greyhounds. They're very gentle, very sweet. So it just seemed like before I knew it, our friendship fizzled faster than a deflating balloon gets popped. And I had my baby within a month, and I got my baby gift from her in the mail, not in person.
And you never did pick up the friendship such as it was again,
no,
did you?
No, it didn't. It kind of fizzled there. I left a few phone messages, and I got a package in the mail, and that was about the end of it.
Wow, wow. I love the chapter in Leashes and Lovers about make room, move over, about whether to let your dog share your bed. Talk about that.
This is probably one of the hottest topics between new couples, married couples for quite a while, who may still fight about the dog being in the bed, who wants the dog out of the bed. So it's definitely one of the most debatable. And, you know, I think it really has to come down to the couple, and you kind of have to work that out. And I'm just as guilty. We started out with, actually, when I was more the dog lover, and my husband was the furthest from what you thought would become a dog lover. His son's become one, but when we did get our first dog, the first thing he said to me was, the dog is not going to be in the bed. And about 6 months later, the dog was in the bed. And then that went on for a while, and actually I enjoyed having our dog sleep at our feet. But then now, probably for the last 5 years, the dogs have not been in the bed. So it's one of those things, too. I think as dog people, you just have to go more with the flow, and that's what makes us special and unique, too, is that because I think we are more flexible in our lives. We know that there's going to be a bit more fur flying around. There's going to be other things you have to do, and especially when you go outside and have to pick up after mm-hmm. them. So but it's definitely the hottest topic and probably one of the bigger fights amongst couples.
And, you know, talk about sharing the bed, but also what happens when there's, shall we say, action going on in the bedroom? What happens to the dog?
Oh, exactly. I've had people tell me they put the dog in the bathroom and then they get distracted because they hear it whining, scratching at the door. And then other couples who say, you know, it really doesn't bother us, and the dog doesn't even seem interested. So it really becomes more of a human issue. The dogs could really care less. It's just they don't want to feel like they're missing out on just being near their humans. So but it does end up posing some interesting issues, and I've had dates talk in front of me in terms of one who isn't the dog person mm-hmm. saying, you know, I can't have that dog watching me, looking at me, maybe starting to want to lick my toes. So it's funny. There's a lot of funny stories in the book about people opening up about that.
You also mentioned, though, that, and I know this has happened with dogs I've had, for a while, they'll, especially when they're puppies or like adolescent dogs, they like to be in the room, the bedroom with you. But after a while, when they sort of quote unquote grow out of it, they might start the evening in the bedroom and then migrate out to their doggy bed in the living room after a while. They don't even hang out the whole night with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, so. Exactly. They just kind of like to go where they're comfortable, and they like to know usually where you are, that you're comfortable, you're safe, you're sleeping, and a lot of times they just go on about their way. But I even had some people tell me stories where if they were getting intimate and they said the dog would walk out of the room, they almost felt like, wait a minute, what's going on? We're not exciting enough? So there's a lot of funny stories with that.
I love that. Well, dogs are so good for your health. We've all heard that. But not only your physical health, but we were talking about the emotional health as well. Talk about how dogs can impact both of those aspects of our health.
Yeah, a dog completely can impact your health. And I even say that the secret to happiness, a healthier life, emotional healing, and a more rewarding relationship is really slobbering all over your shoes at this very moment. And it's because there are qualities that you can share with your dog to bring you a healthier life. And in the book, I talk about six of those, and they're humility, intimacy, playfulness, trust, loyalty, and companionship. But playfulness is the one that I really want to mention here to your listeners that probably has the most health benefits, and I know that may even sound a little far-fetched, but it's because when we engage in play like our dogs do, it's as if we forget about our worries, our regrets, we forget about checking our BlackBerry. We just play, and it's what dogs do and what they strive to do all the time in their own way. And it may depend on their breed, their age, and their health, but they really want to play as often as possible. And I think that's the biggest clue that we can take from them to having a healthier lifestyle. And because the other key in that component of playing is we start laughing. And our dogs a lot of times, I mean, just do some of the craziest, silliest things that make us laugh. And that's how a dog can also bring you better health benefits. And some of those health benefits by laughing and having a dog in your life can lead to actually reduced risk of heart disease, decreased stress, lowered blood pressure, a boosted immune system. They're a natural painkiller for your system. And when you're laughing, it's actually giving a massage of your abdominal organs, and it's a natural antidepressant. So it's like there's everything positive about having a dog in your life.
That is so true. And also, dogs are so in the moment, which helps you stop multitasking, stop looking at your computer, blah, 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 and enjoy in the moment.
Exactly.
With your dog.
They completely live in the moment. They're not sitting there worrying about what happened yesterday. They certainly aren't looking ahead to what walk or dog bone they might get tomorrow. They're just looking at you right now. And I think a key, too, is they really look at you in your eyes, don't they? I think that's why so many people melt and we get absorbed and into our dog's eyes, because they're paying us attention. We're the biggest thing in their life. They only want to please us and make us happy. So if we applied that too to our human relationships, how much better they could be.
And, you know, you're talking about how generally there are dog people and non-dog people. But that doesn't always hold true. And I was thinking about the story you were telling about your parents. Talk about that when they got little Mitzi.
Yes. You know, my mom and dad, it was so fun. When I grew up, we always seemed to have everything, ducks, chickens, turtles.
Wow.
We'd go out and even find wild animals, toads, bring them back, have little races. I mean, we always had a dog, but it always belonged outside.
Yes.
And so I felt that there was not really that same kind of relationship there is that when you bring a dog into your home. And so while my parents allowed us to have all these pets, again, it was a different kind of pet. And we lived on a farm and whatnot. But so as we all grew up and moved out of the house, they had never had a pet of their own. And so, again, you would have thought they would be the last people on earth, you would think, to have a dog. And I came home from college one day, and I see this little dog sitting atop their couch, and I just looked at them because they had never told me. And I looked at them like, what is this? And who's living on top of your couch? And now you allow a dog in the house? And this dog, I think, was a gift from God, because it just showed up on their doorstep on a New Year's Eve, and so first they let it into the garage, and then they let it into the house, and they love that dog so much. So it just goes to show you, when, you know, even a non-dog lover can become a dog lover if the dog can do its magic on them. The dog just has to be there, and before you know it, hands down, they're converted.
I didn't realize that the dog just showed up.
Yeah.
Wow, that makes it even more incredible.
I know, a cute little dog. I mean, it was the perfect dog for them.
Oh, he was so cute.
Yeah.
It was
just everything. It was a little gift to them.
I could talk to you for a lot longer, but what would you suggest people do if they are dog lovers and they're deciding on picking a breed or even a mutt? What would be some things that you could do to increase your chances of being the most compatible?
Well, you know, we're human beings, and it's natural for us to, as for people, we're drawn to what's cute, you know, what we think might serve us. But we need to look at a dog in a different way, and almost as if, you know, what could we bring to that dog? And so try to even take the whole cuteness factor out of it. And look at how, when you first meet that dog, whether it's in a shelter or you're looking into a particular breed, you know, what are the characteristics of the dog that would work well in your lifestyle? And I even give five of those. I break them down in the book. So whether you're looking for more exercise or maybe calmness or companionship, I give several examples of different dog breeds that would mm-hmm. be the better selection for you.
That's great. Well, we talked for a while. Anything else that you want to leave with our listeners before we wrap this up?
Yeah, well, you know, this is a really big topic with a lot of people, and they feel like a lot of times, yeah, why is it that dogs seem so in tune with our needs and our moods? And there were a few secrets, I basically say, that this is why we have such a special bond with our pets. And I believe that the number one reason is because our dogs don't judge us. And judgment itself can just send us into a flurry of emotions, but the real secret to intimacy occurs when we don't judge others. And that's what it is that dogs do for us and why we just feel so much closer to them, because, you know, they don't care about what color we are, what race, religion, whether we're male or female, if we're beautiful or whether we're wearing makeup or not, what brand of clothes we have on. For them, it simply comes down to love. So, and then the third thing is, as I say, dogs also don't fall out of love. You know, they always love you. They always desire us. They simply want our presence. And so those are really the keys to forming that special bond with our dog and also then the other humans in our